temptation is the oldest conflict that oldest of all conflict the human heart has. It starts from Genesis in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent, the devil, came to Eve and tempted her to take the forbidden fruit. Some people said it's apple. No, that rumor started with people who use Microsoft PC. Okay, so don't. It's not an apple. There's not a one person in humankind that have not faced the temptations, including Jesus Christ. However, with the exception of Jesus Christ, everybody suffer the consequences of being tempted and fall for it. We often think that temptation is limited to the sexual lust, but there are other kinds. But I can categorize the three of them. So let's look at the first one, material temptation. This is lust for the things, money, and possession. Things, money, and possession. God, whenever you think that urge, they think that you gotta have it. For the guys, it's the things that require electricity. For the ladies, is it either shoes or purse or whatever, one of those things. Personal temptation is more like a stature, position, and fame. If you think I'm joking, just look, watch the TV show on the morning show, like a morning news show, or the football game. When the camera, TV camera pans and zoom, what do? They do this, and then all that silly grin on their face. If you remember last October, September, somewhere around that time, when the primary election is over, now they're having a convention or whatever, Republican convention, Democratic convention. Did you see those people just doing this and calling their friends? Do you see me on TV? Do you see? For 15 seconds of fame. And they make themselves a total idiot in front of nationwide TV. They do that. Third temptation I characterize is sensual temptation, of course. This is lust for the physical and sensual pleasure. We've been studying the last 2 weeks from the book of Proverbs. The three chapters, ranging from chapter 5 to chapter 7, dedicated solely for the sensual temptation, with the exception of a few areas in chapter 6. Why God put so much emphasis on this thing? Because He wants us to learn how it comes to us and how often we fall for it, and also how horrible the consequences for the walking into temptation and how not to get into temptation. However, we are not going to go into the book of Proverbs as we did the last couple times, but we are going to compare the two contrasting characters of the Bible, and we're going to learn from them, because one who did just walk right into the temptation and give in to the temptation and fail miserably, the other person successfully resist and became a hero, in our opinion. You may say, well, I'm such a godly person, I don't have to worry about temptation. You may not have to worry about temptation, but you do have to worry about the pride. And the pride is just about, in my opinion, is a door to just any kind of sin. You know it, I know it. So if you think you are above temptation, you do need to listen to this teaching. Temptation, folks, temptation itself is not a sin. Jesus faced the temptation. But walking into temptation, going for that temptation is a problem. So it's not the bait is the problem, it's the bite is the problem. You with me? Bait is not a problem. Bait is there to lure you. What do we do? We're going for that. Like a dumb fish. You never heard the fish, did, have you? I believe that the Lord has a great lesson for us in this teaching. So let's pray. Holy Father, we often don't think that we are waging a war against a force far greater than some terrorist from the Middle East. The enemy of our souls may not have a flesh and blood, but they are very capable to drag us down and ultimately bring disgrace to your name. These demonic forces use the temptations and traps against us. Therefore, give us a discerning heart and wisdom to know their temptation and obedient mind, that we may understand what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, that we may win each battle with your power. And we pray for the President Obama's salvation. He needs this salvation that he may do what is right instead of doing all the things that are against your word. And we pray for our troops, especially the family of those fallen soldiers, their comrade in arms. We ask you to comfort them during this difficult time. And you willing, you bring them back to us, to their home, to their family, to their friends, safe and sound. And we also lift up the uniformed personnel around these communities, Border Patrol agents, Sheriff Department deputies, and Police Department officers, and firefighters. We ask you to watch over them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See, there's a temptation that leads to death. And Eskimo people has a very, very effective way to hunt that infamous Alaskan wolf. It's very simple. First, they sharpen the knife extremely sharp and the layer with fresh sheep blood. Let it be frozen. And when it's frozen, they put another layer of blood on the top. And they repeat this process several times. They don't have to do anything special to freeze the blood. Just leave it outside. It's frozen. And then take it to the trails that is familiar to the wolf trails. And they bury the handle first and blade sticking out in the air. And they go home. After that, wolf comes over. Because of the scent of flesh, sheep blood, can even though it's frozen, it cannot escape the ultra-sensitive nose of wolf. So the wolf is tempted by this blood and comes and find this blade. And they start to lick and taste the blood. It just cannot all walk away from the taste of blood. It starts to lick. While it's licking frozen blade, guess what happened? The tongue of the wolf become numb because of the temperature. It starts to lick. And the more he licks, the more he can taste the blood. And pretty soon, as he licks, and his own tongue gets sliced by the sharp edge of the blade. And pretty soon, even though his tongue is numb from the temperature, but he can still feel the fresh, warm blood. He doesn't know that it's his own blood. I know some of you ladies think, why are you grossing me out like this? Bear with me. Bear with me. I'll make a parallel line here. While he's doing this, the more he tastes it, he vigorously licks. Next morning, Eskimo come back to this trail. And there is that wolf, completely bleeded out, dead. He doesn't have to chase the wolf. He doesn't have to fight against the wolf. I'm going to make 4 points out of this illustration. Number one, they put their blade in the area wolves are familiar with. The devil does not tempt us when we are in a fighting mode. When we are spiritually fully alert, He does not come after us. So He waits for opportune time. When our guards are down in our own familiar territories. That's why I've been telling you guys, there's no such a thing as a vacation. There's no such a thing as a retirement. There's no such a thing as R&R for Christians. Second point I'd like to bring it to you is the wolf tongue become numb as it licks frozen blade. When we can get into temptation, nothing matters to us. We completely forget about our families and the people whom we dearly love and fellowship together. Most importantly, we forget our God. Note the word I said, forget our God. In other words, we become dumb, blind, and stupid. And you, some of you are thinking, did you call me just stupid? Well, let's face it, when we sin against God, we are stupid, don't we? I'm just making a statement of the fact. The wolf, third point, the wolf starts to bleed and he doesn't even realize that he is bleeding. When we walk into the devil's trap, we don't even realize that we are in trouble. All we are concerned about is that we want our carnal desire to be met. Fourth point I bring it to you is wolf get killed by bleeding to death. Wolf get killed by bleeding to death. As time goes by, that the longer we are in temptation, the harder it's for us to get out. Isn't that true? Yeah. Pretty soon we are completely trapped inside, become another victim of Satan. Whether you're tempted by the pornography, gambling, alcohol, or drugs, whatever, if you are a born-again Christian, you have a God-given power within you to resist and fight back. Because Almighty God, Holy Spirit, lives in you if you are born-again Christian. Once you say yes to Jesus, Holy Spirit comes into your heart and He lives in you. And some of you might say, well, my temptation was way too big and overcoming me that I couldn't fight back. Really? I beg the difference because the Bible says it otherwise. 1 Corinthians 10:13, please. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Right after Romans, right before 2 Corinthians. Very good. 10:13. You there yet? No temptation has overtaken you except such as horrible to man, right? No, common to man. So your temptation is not much better, more worse than mine, or mine is now worse than yours. Common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make you the way of escape. So we really don't have an excuse saying we are tempted beyond measure. We all have a way of escape, and you are able to bear it. And this is something in my silly mind I call a spiritual 44 Magnum. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Some of you guys know this by heart. You there yet? He who is in the world, who is in you, is greater than who is in the world. The Holy Spirit is in you, is greater than all the demonic forces in the world, because the Holy Spirit is God. However, if it depends on you, it depends on me, and so we fight against the devil and his temptation with our own will strength, willpower. Okay, that means your strength and willpower put together. With your willpower and strength, we will lose every time. only way we can fight against the demonic forces is through the power of God. So let's make a first example. The king who chose not to fight back against temptation. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. It happened to the king in the spring of the year. I actually put the number 1 there at the time when the kings go out to the battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him. And all Israel, they destroyed the people of Ammon, besieged Reba. But David remained in Jerusalem. Then it happened, put number 2 there. One evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. Number 3, from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Verse 3, so the David sent inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, a wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then, number 4, David sent a messenger to her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house, and the woman conceived. So she sent and told David, said, I am with a child. We find the 4 faults, one after another, by King David that led him to sin against God and against the people whom God entrusts with. First thing is, at the time the king goes out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servant with him. Why in the world the King David stayed home instead of going into the battle with his troops? Because he became confident in his leadership and capability. He thought his general Joab and his troops was enough to handle any battle. He felt that he didn't need to get into the battle. But what he really didn't realize was he was right smack dab in the middle of the spiritual battle, and he's about to lose it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks stand take heed lest he fall. See how the pride works? Starting with the pride. Second point that I'd like to bring to you is, one evening David arose from the bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. When we have too much time, I don't know about you, when I have too much time, guess what? I get myself in trouble very well. I don't need somebody's help to put myself in trouble. My mind wanders. I came up with a silly idea that it should not be in. So his spiritual guard was completely down. He was a pretty much sitting duck and open season to the Satan's attack. This man was a bow out of gore. Third point is, from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. Listen, please. Great reformer Martin Luther said this: you cannot stop bird flying over your head. However, you can stop bird making a nest on your head. First glance, it happens. But the second look become glare and stare and leer. You with me? You accidentally, you know what, nowadays, when you flip the channel on TV or when you drive on the street, you get to see it. What do you do? Good way to crash your car. Or you stop going back. What was the channel? First glance happens. But when it becomes going back, second stairs and glare, that's a different story. See, we can accidentally get to see the, or do something we should not. We can ask God to help us move out of that situation and stay away from it. But King David was staring at woman bathing and desiring her. Even though King David had 300 wives and concubines at his disposal, at this point he wanted this woman. Because he didn't control his passion with the one woman and 300 women, it doesn't matter if he had all the women in the world, he still could not control his passion. God's command for the king in Israel was do not have more than one woman. He disobeyed her, him. King David and King Solomon showed us so if one woman is not enough, 1,000 women is not enough. 300 wives and concubine meant 300 mothers-in-law. No wonder why this guy was in constant trouble, right? Bathsheba's great beauty made the sight very tempting. However, the real strength of temptation often does not lie in the quality of the tempting object, but in the state of heart and mind of the one being tempted. You could have a gallon of beer right in front of me. That doesn't bother me. You could have a deck of poker cards or anything of those things. That doesn't bother me. That's not my thing. But if you leave the Monster or this energy drink, that I have a problem with. The sugar. We all have a weakness. Do you know what your weakness is? If you do, if that caused you to sin, walk away from it from the beginning. Stay far away from it. So it's not the one that tempting you. How is your heart? Our carnal desire cannot be satisfied. The more we get, the more we want. If you used to be involved in illegal drugs or drinking and alcohol, or gambling, or pornography, you know that. One line of cocaine, one more puff of marijuana, and one more batting, one more glance of pornography will not satisfy you because your body wants to now is pretty much dictating you and what to do. And the Bible says that your spirit is weak, but the body is strong. While you're being sucked into the temptation, God becomes quite unreal to us. We lose all reality, and only carnal desire is real. Listen, please. Satan does not fill our heart with a hatred against God in the beginning. He just simply helps us forget God. Forget God. King David chose to forget everything, including very, very loving and holy God. The one whom he cried out to all the time in the wilderness. The one who has made him to be a king. Our God is so gracious to all of us. He wants us to stop our sin before it gets worse. If the King David, while he was looking down in the Bathsheba, and if he said, oh God, I'm going to walk away from him. Please help me. God would help him. It would stop there. When you face the temptation, if you say, you know, this is wrong. Help me. God makes you the way of escape. But what do? Oh, that is good. We walk right into it. You know, God even used a soft-footed servant of David to remind King David. Usually when they give a genealogy. Okay, this is Oscar, son of your daddy's name? Isn't it? His daddy. In this case, Bathsheba, isn't this the Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam? He didn't stop there. What did he say? The wife of Uriah the Hittite. Remind the king, this woman belongs to somebody else already. So it's off the limit, king. Now we find King David stepping into the father. He sent the messenger to her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. King David still had a choice at the last moment. Even she walked into his chamber, he could say, you know, this is wrong, go back home, I'm going to repent to God. What did he do? He didn't care. Nothing mattered to him. However, we should not put all the blame on King David either. No holy woman would take a bath on the top of a rooftop where she can be seen from the king's castle. You agree? And I don't see Bathsheba resisting king's invitation either. You may say, well, how can you resist king? Simple. This is what you're doing is against God. She could bring God into the picture. King David's sin brought the terrible consequences to his family, his kingdom, and most of all, brought the opportunities to the enemy of God to blaspheme the name of God. Your sin, my sin, bring opportunity to the enemy of God to blaspheme his name. Now we have another young man who chose to fight back against the temptation. Genesis 39, please. Genesis 39. Of course, the name is Joseph. Verse 7. Are you guys cold?
Yes.
Bring the clothes next time. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But put number one, he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. And then number two, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Verse 11, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment and saying, lie with me. She's not beating around the bush here. Verse 4, he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. What this young man Joseph did is opposite of everything King David did. Number one, he refused and said no to his master's wife. Please remember, Joseph was a young man at this time. A lot of Bible scholars believe that he was a teenager, either 19 or 21. Just like any teenagers in America, he could have his hormone to override what the Lord spoke to him in his heart, but he would not allow himself to fall for the master's wife temptation. On top of all, he was living in a foreign land and no contact with his Hebrew family. As a matter of fact, his father, thought he was dead. And his 10 brothers was hoping that he's dead. Just get rid of the evidence and any witness, then they will be happy, really. Second point I'd like to bring it to you is, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Unlike a King David who forgot his God, Joseph brought God into the conversation. He thought about the consequence of his action and that would bring the shame to the name of God. But Mrs. Potiphar didn't care. She didn't care about the sanctity of marriage, nor she could care about the trust between this man and his master, Mr. Potiphar. The only thing she is interested in gratifying her sexual pleasure. Now. Nothing else. Listen, please. Many times, fornication, which is sex before marriage. Some people say, well, we're going to get married soon, so we can have sex. Really? Where do you see that in the Bible? Or some people say, well, we are married in God's eyes. Do you have a letter? A marriage certificate? You know, when I do the wedding ceremony, I finish the wedding ceremony, I sign this little paper. And I even mail it myself because I don't trust bride and groom taking it to the honeymoon and they get argued. They have an argument and they say, forget it. And it's the end of the story. That happened actually before in Calvary, Tucson. Yeah, they bride and groom went to honeymoon, they start to argue and they say, tear the thing, marriage certificate in the mail. So we are not married legally. True. They didn't log in into the logbook, so they were not married. That's why I don't trust them. I just mail them by myself. If you are not married legally, you are not married. Period. Bless you. There's a lot of people think that, well, we're going to get married. In God's eye, we are married. There's a Greek word. You guys know that, right? What is it? Thank you. See, it's nothing more than physical lust. The one that the Hollywood is trying to show is not love. That's not true definition of love that God wants you to have. Sex is a gift from God between husband and wife and limited. Anything outside, external, the adultery and fornication is not blessed by God. When you are tempted, did you bring God into your situation? Like Joseph did? If you did, you could have deflect Satan's attack. Like Jesus did against Satan in the wilderness. Remember, whenever Satan tempted Jesus, what did he do? He declared, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus did not use his divine power to overcome Satan. He used the word of God to overcome the Satan. You guys are wondering sometimes, why are you so much into this Bible thingy? The Bible verse we memorize each week, I'm supposed to put the week there, will come to your rescue someday. Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119, verse 11. We memorized this verse, remember? It says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's the reason why we memorize this verse every week. Third point I'd like to bring to you is that he did not heed her. Joseph did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Joseph did not take a chance being with Mrs. Potiphar. Don't think that she was wearing some sort of gunny sack and she looked like a healed up from the somewhere. I bet she was a knockdown, really beautiful woman. And I don't think she was wearing the gunny sack either. Very, very attractive. And she was tempting him day after day after day. So he didn't trust himself, so he didn't even bother to be with her. When you know, listen please, when you know that temptation is ahead of you, what do you do? What do you do? Do you go around, or do you just walk away, or do you say, I don't know, let me see what happened. A lot of people know they are being tempted, but they stand right in the middle. Fourth point, he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Joseph didn't care if he had clothes or not. Most likely his outer garment. He resisted her and ran away from her. In almost every instant where the issue of sexual lust is dealt with in the New Testament, we are told to what? Flee. To get up and run. Some temptation we are to stand and resist. But when it comes to the sensual lust, we are told to do exactly as Joseph did. Get out of there. Fast. If we stay, we're likely to be giving in. So if you are a person who is using drugs, don't hang around with your drug joint and joint smoking person, or your friend. Remember what the Bible says. Bad friends corrupt character. Stay far away from them. And if you have a problem with the drinking, don't go near the liquor store. If you have a problem, ask somebody to go there for you and buy whatever. I mean, grocery store, you know, the ones, like you walk into Walgreens, there's a liquor store and there is a whatever the thing you can buy. Don't go there. Don't even go there. And you say, well, I couldn't help. I just, there was the hook came out from the liquor store and yanked my neck inside. Yeah, right. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, we memorize this. We are going to start to memorize. I'm going to ask you to turn there and let's make it. Everybody has a pen? Everybody has a pen? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, please. I'm going to ask you to do something different. I know some of you don't like to mark in your Bible, but do this for me. Do this for me. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that is instead of man, put your name there. Every man that Juno does is outside the body. But put your name there instead of he. Juno, who commits sexual immorality, sin against his own body. Or if you want to put your first noun, pronoun, then flee sexual immorality. Every sin that I do is outside the body. But I, who commit the sexual immorality, sin against my own body, making it personal. You follow? Yeah, I just make it as a yours, personal, personalize it. Huh? We have an opening on the media position. Let's make a 5 applications, number 1. Do not give yourself any opportunity to be in temptation. Do not give yourself any opportunity to be in temptation. But if you somehow end up there, run away from it. Don't stare it, don't linger. If you linger, you'll fall for it. By the way, some of you might involve with somebody other than your spouse. You may say, well, I'm not really into the sexual thing. I'm just flirting. I have a suggestion for you. If you're flirting with that person, stop. Okay, it's against the word of God. That flirting will lead you to the adultery. If you're going to flirt with your wife, flirt with your husband, highly encouraged, okay? Second application, there is a strong demonic power against you while you're being tempted or sinning if you keep in secret. If you inform other brothers or sisters in the Lord that you are being tempted or in the process of your sin, you will notice that the power of the temptation and the sin is gone. And you will be able to escape from that temptation. Do you know the power of temptation and the sin is in secrecy? As long as you keep that thing in secret, and the Bible says in Proverbs, stolen water is sweeter. Now you're hot? You're hot. Pastor Jack, turn that thing back on. Third application. By yielding to the temptation, we may lose in a moment what it takes a lifetime to gain. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Fourth application. God does not fill us with hatred against God at the time of temptation, but He helps us to forget about God. Are these things hitting the code? If this is close to your home, then you need to repent. And some of you say, well, none of this is hitting me because I'm so good. Put it in the back of your mind. It might come in handy to you. Fifth application, temptation we experience are not more than we can handle. We have a helper from God, from heaven, to overcome, resist. The Holy Spirit within us. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. I believe that this lesson is a very practical, something you guys can use. As I said before, if you're flirting anyone other than your spouse, it's wrong. Turn your heart to God and repent. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. This is a very pointed sermon. We must take heed. We must remember we are not fighting against the flesh and blood, but against the principality and rulers and the demonic forces in heavenly places. We ask you to strengthen our feet and our hands, let our heart dwell in your word, be strengthened by you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.